good mark for introduction and non-deviation from parampara and for humility and the three things. Of course, he has got good marks for flow and clarity also. One thing I didn't tell you about was coverage. Coverage is the topic. So many nice questions, very interesting questions were asked. We'll discuss some of them. Regarding the death of the parrot, it was a nice question. You are comparing the body to a cage and soul to a parrot. In the case of parrot, the soul dies. In the case of parrot, dead. How can you think soul can die like that? But for your kind information, the Shastras say the man who doesn't practice spiritual life is actually killing the soul. It is said in Ishopanishad, you see, Asuryanamati loka andhena tamasavrita sangste prasyadi kacchanti eke chatmahano jana. Atmaha, the word is like, eke cha atmaha. Atmaha means, what is the meaning? Atma means soul. Ha means killer. One who is killing his own soul, it is said. It is not just only one word, there is another word. Natarecha atmaha. Nardeha madhyam salabam sudarlabam lavam sukalpam gurukalnadaram. Mayani kulena napasthateritam. Puman bhavati natarecha atmaha. Again the word atmaha is used. This is another verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the word killer of the soul is used in many different parts of the scripture. What does it actually mean? Killer of one's soul means one who does not act according to the nature of the soul. The soul is supposed to do something, but this person is doing something else. For example, somebody donates you a Mercedes Benz, but you are not an educated man, you are a farmer. But somehow or other, by some chance, somebody donates you a Mercedes Benz. What will you do? You take the Mercedes Benz to your city, field, and use it for plowing. Is it an intelligent thing to do? If you use your Mercedes Benz for plowing, probably you may be able to plow to some extent. But that is not the best use of Mercedes Benz. In the same way, the pure soul, he is supposed to lead a pure life of Krishna consciousness, devoid of any material contamination. And in that consciousness, not only he is he satisfying the Supreme Lord, he also becomes completely satisfied. But this pure soul, now in the conditioned stage, is foolishly running here and there, seeking enjoyment. And in the name of enjoyment is doing so many nonsensical activities. That is why, if somebody is not acting according to the nature of the soul, and acting contrarily, he is said to be killing his own soul. You all understand the point? Sometimes you see somebody is born in a very good family. Father and mother, they have such wonderful qualities. They are very, very pure-hearted. They perform all regular rites to be performed. They are worshipping God. And they come from a very well-to-do family, rich family. Everything is there. But the son who is born in the family becomes a rogue number one. He becomes a vagabond, taking all the money. He spends all the money drinking, smoking. That means he is killing his own nature. What is his nature? He is supposed to become like his father and mother, but he is going against his nature. This is what we mean when we say killing one's own soul.
How do you know that somebody
should
be killing his soul, not acting according to
his soul? Now, who is acting?
Soul or somebody?
Who? No. Somebody is not acting according to his soul. Yeah. That means that somebody is a soul in illusion. If somebody is not acting according to his own nature, that somebody is a soul in illusion. Very simple. In illusion. For example, a person in a drunken state, you know, he is very happy, he says, but you know what extent he is happy. Is he happy? The drunken man says he is happy. Is he happy? He's actually not happy. That means a man under illusion while drinking thinks he is happy. In the same way, the soul under illusion is wandering in this world doing different things, thinking that he is happy. That is the illusion soul. So, another question was asked about remaining in this world. If someone wants to be a part of this world and maintain the relationship, many people think like this. Many people think, why we talk of spiritual life, why we talk of soul, God and all these abstract things? why should we get out of this world? Happiness is a very, you know, dangerous thing. Better just be in this world. Try to make the present life very happy. Let us not think of the future. Let us try to make this life happier. This kind of question comes in the mind of many, many people. In fact, our attachment to family is so strong that one does not want to think of death at all. Not only you and me, this is there in every living being. You can see that nobody wants to die. You can see even a tiny insect, you try to catch him, he will escape somewhere. Even a dog, you try to beat him with a stick, he will run away. Everyone wants to remain in this world forever and forever. That is why sometimes in stories like Cinderella or Snow White and the Red Rose, you say, and the hero and heroine lived happily ever after. Because they want to live happily ever after in this world. Nobody wants to die. But although nobody wants to die, everyone is forced to die. But one can see one's attachment even after death. I was recently reading in Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that a man is very attached to maintaining his present family and relationship. Maintaining his wife, maintaining his children, maintaining his father. In this way, a man is so attached. Life long he works very, very hard to earn money to maintain these people. Sometimes a man sees that I am unable to maintain these people with my existing salary. So he becomes ready to adopt an illegal means to earn money. Sometimes he is caught by the police or by the government and he is put in the jail. Sometimes he even becomes a murderer in order to earn money to maintain his family. So one may do any illegal activities to maintain one's family. But ultimately, you see, he may somehow successfully maintain the family, but the reaction he gets alone. Just like a murderer, to murder somebody and then maintain his family. But then when the government catches him, whom will they hang? They will hang only the murderer. In the same way, a husband or a man may try to adopt many illegal means to earn money to maintain his wife and children and his family. But when he dies, he has to take all the sinful reactions alone. But when a person dies, he is so attached that even after death, a man desires that let my body be carried by my family members to the graveyard by throwing flowers on me. He is anyway not going to see it. But still he desires that. Let them carry my body. This is his desire. And also he tells his son at the time of death, my dear son, please come. Now I am passing away. I am going. You please maintain this family. He has maintained it enough for the 80 years and he wants the maintenance to be continued even after his death. This is the condition of a suffering soul in this world. He is very firmly attached to remaining in this world. He never wants to go. The reason is only infatuation. Just like we were telling in one of the classes before, how when Indra was cursed to become a pig, he was in a gutter, saying as a pig. And for some period of time he had to be a pig. He was a pig. And then when the period was over, Brahma came to take back Indra. Come with me, your period is over. But Indra said, how can I come? I have pig society, I have pig friends, I have beautiful pig wife. He had become so attached to the family and society and the relationship in the gutter. And he didn't want to leave the gutter. Although he was given an opportunity to live in a better place than he existed. In the same way, you all can see, people want to remain in the same situation. Nobody wants to come out. Even the people living in the slum, governed in Bangalore, they removed the slum people and gave them nice bungalows to live. They told them, don't spoil the beauty of the city. And they gave the slum people a nice apartment to live. But those people left the apartment for rent and they came back to the slum. Because they could not leave the situation of Islam. In this way, everyone has attachment to the present situation in which one is living. Very attached to the house, very attached to one's father, mother, brother, sister, wife, children, and all these different people. This attachment is simply material attachment. It has no existence at all. It is going to vanish like a bubble in the ocean. Very soon it's going to vanish, whether you want or not. You know, we read in the story of Chitraketu. It's a very long story, but the end of the story goes like this. And one time Chitraketu had a son called Harshashoka. When the son died, Chitraketu lamented. He was dumbfounded with grief. And his wife became unconscious. She was a queen. And Narada came there. And Narada told Chitraketu and his wife, do not worry, I'll get your son back to life. Then he called the soul. My dear soul, your father and mother are praying. Please come back. You assumed this body again. And the soul came back and assumed the body of the child. Then the child woke up from his bed and he had come back to life. But then he spoke in a very grave voice. He spoke, he said, "Oh Narada Muni, why did you call me now? I was going to my next destination. You are telling me that my father and mother are calling me. Which father and which mother are you talking about? I have had millions of fathers and millions of mothers in the past. I had fish father and fish mother when I was in the ocean. I had pig father and pig mother when I was in the gutter. I had a bird father and bird mother when I was lying in the sky. In this way I have had so many fathers and mothers. Which father and which mother are you talking about?" This was his question. So consider this question in your mind. We have passed so many family relationships in this world. In fact, Angira Muni, who accompanied Narada Muni also, is his example. How sometimes from a tree, dry leaves fall in the river and they flow together. There are hundreds and thousands of such leaves floating in the river. Sometimes four or five leaves come together and they flow together for some distance and get separated, never to meet again. In the same way, we all are souls wandering in this material world. But originally we have only one eternal friend, who is Krishna. We all are connected to one God. But when we come to this world, some four or five souls are picked together and put in one compartment, maybe in one flat. And then they are called. You are called as the mother soul. You are the father soul. You are the son soul. You are the daughter soul. And you are the dog soul. The pet dog is staying at the doorstep. So the five souls are put together in one family and they all think, now we are. This is my father. This is my mother. This is my brother. This is my sister. We identify very strongly with the family. We identify very strongly with the language that we speak. We identify very strongly with the state where we were born. All these things are actually material consciousness. So the soul does not have these designations. He is completely pure. But he imagines that this is my society. Sometimes people make the Malayalam society or Bengali society. You have seen that? Or Tamil society or Kannada society they make. Because they all the people speaking the same language, they stay together. And they create friendships amongst one another. And they think this is actually love. But the real society exists in the spiritual world with God. The real friendship exists with the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And real love is meant for Him. When we talk of love, every one of us have love. But this body is temporary and we are giving this temporary love for temporary people of this world. But the soul itself has love and the soul is eternal. And it is very logical to understand if the soul is eternal and he is possessing love, the soul also should repose the love on someone who is also eternal. Is it not? How obvious it is. If the soul is eternal and he has love, and he should repose love on someone who is eternal. So in the spiritual world, the soul has eternal love for God. Forgetting that love, he is coming to this world and identifying himself with the temporary situations of this world. So Krishna consciousness is one which gradually helps a person to perceive that all these relationships are bogus relationships. They are cheating relationships. Although we think we have relations, we become so attached to family, friends and society and love. These all are actually temporary flickering relationships. They have no real existence. So people want to be a part of this world only because of attraction to the body, attachment to the body. But in the spiritual world also we have a spiritual body and we have spiritual relationships. That's what Krishna consciousness is all about. That's what it is talking about. Although in the beginning stage one may not be able to appreciate, then one gradually goes deeper and deeper into the philosophical understanding of how one is not his body. His body is simply a covering. It is simply like a dress that you are wearing. And the body has no relationship. All the relationships we are talking of are all illusory. That understanding if we get, then we can appreciate the spiritual relationship, which is eternal. We want to work for something that is eternal. We don't want to work for something that is temporary. Like your father, your mother, your brother, sister, you have so much attachment to them. But then lifelong, you can live with them, isn't it? But at one point of time, you all are going to be separated, is it not? Can you say that I want to live with my father and mother forever? Is it possible? Can you live forever with them? Can they live forever or can we live forever? So there is no question of continuing our life in this world all forever. So one has to understand that these relationships are temporary. One has to identify where is that relationship with this eternal. When we are talking about the musket, how did the musket convey to you that it was running for touching that smell? As Shankarabhani Prabhu was telling, part of the answer was correct, but all our knowledge comes from the Shastra. It says, Maya Mrigam Daita Eshita Manva Dava Mande Mahabhrigate Chalanaraganda. There he is talking about Mriga. He is telling exactly like the musket, who is running here and there in search of smells, but the smell is there in his own body. In the same way, the conditioned soul is running here and there seeking happiness, he is saying. So, the smell coming from the body of musket is compared to the real pleasure or happiness. And the deer is running here and there. Similarly, the soul already has Sat-Chit Ananda. Ananda is already there in the soul. But not understanding oneself to be the soul, the person is running here and there in this world. Thinking that maybe this may give happiness, that may give happiness, this may give happiness. He is running in different places to get happiness. Salad Maharaj says, Sukham Endrikam Daitya Deha Yogyana Dehina Sarvatra Lapite Daiva Ekadukkam Aitandana. He is telling, my dear demoniac friends, he was actually preaching to his classmates, who were all sons of demons. So he was telling them, my dear demon friends, you all are running, he was telling, Sukham Aindriyakam Daitya Sarva. He was telling, my dear friends, the Sukha that you are all running after, it is available in every place. He says that the pig, when he is eating the stool, he is deriving the same pleasure what you derive when you eat a halwa. When you eat halwa or laddu, you derive some pleasure. And the pig eats stool, he derives the same pleasure. Similarly, when a dog mates with another dog, he derives some pleasure. And when a man and woman mate, there is the same pleasure. There is no difference. He calls this a stored pleasure. Stored pleasure means the quantum of pleasure that a human being experiences by eating, sleeping, mating and defending is the same quantum which the animal is experiencing. So what is the wonder? He is telling, all these things we have been doing in so many lives, in the dog's body, cat's body. Sometimes the man thinks, oh, now I am in a secret place. And I am, like in Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, a man thinks, oh, I am enjoying the solitary embraces of a woman. Oh, it is so rare. A man thinks like that. But this fool doesn't know, even a pig is thinking, I am enjoying the solitary embrace of a sheepie. Even a pig is thinking like that. Or a dog is thinking. Or a cat is thinking. Even a cockroach is thinking. Even an ant in the corner is thinking. Isn't it? Even an aquatic, which is the ocean, is thinking like that. That I am enjoying. Oh, such a wonderful life I am enjoying. But this fool, when he enjoys the woman, he thinks, I am the only one getting this enjoyment. The fool doesn't know that every living being in every part of the universe is enjoying the same, very same thing. Chewing the chew. Punaha punaha charvita charvanana. Prahlad says, you enjoyed the same thing when you were in a dog's body, when you were in a cat's body, when you were in a pig's body. And now that you have got a human body, why are you so foolishly enjoying the same thing? He's asking, is the human body meant for that? Is the human body meant for doing the same activities of enjoying the sex life, eating, sleeping, and whiling away all your valuable human form of life? This you have already done in all the other bodies. And even if you try to do so, even if you try to do the same thing in the human body, do not think it is going to be in any way superior to what you experienced in the animal body. It is the same thing. There is no superiority there. So he gives the example of the sugar cane he was chewing. How sometimes you go to a sugar cane shop, he puts it once and then gets some juice. And second time, third time he puts it in between the wheels. After some time you know that there is no juice. Still, the sugar cane wala, he doesn't leave it because he wants to use the best of the sugar cane. So he puts it again and again in the machine and takes until the last drop. Similarly, the soul is assuming different bodies. Now he has got a dog's body. He enjoys that body. Purusha patruti stoki bhunkte patruti janvana. He enjoys. Repeatedly tries to enjoy the same thing again and again. So in a human form of life, one can ask this question. What tamasha is going on in this world? Everyone is doing the same thing. Everyone is conducted by the senses, running here and there, doing the same activities. Why is this world created? This question can be asked by human being. So, our Shivamba suggesting that the deer was running here and there, maybe he is running playfully. In the same way, human beings are running here and there, playfully out of madness. Like sometimes you see something similar in asylum, mental asylum. mental asylum, you go one man who runs from here to there and back to here. And sometimes he will salute like that. Sometimes I am a prime minister, he will say. Maybe Shivam may call him very playful. But we know he is mad. Noonam pramatta kurute vikarma indriya priti aprinoti. Rishabhadev is saying, Noonam pramatta kurute vikarma indriya priti aprinoti. He says, Mattan is mad. Pramattan is sufficiently mad. Katrina pramatta. So he says, Noonam pramatta kurute yad indriya priti aprinoti. He says, just for the sake of indriya tripti, indriya tripti you all know, right? Sense gratification. All these living beings around us have become sufficiently mad. And what are they doing? Noonam pramatta kurute yad yad indriya priti aprinoti. Na sadhu manye yad atmanoyam asannati kleshada asadeha. He is telling, asad, api kleshada. This body has two characteristics. One is this body is asad. It is temporary. This body is so temporary and so flickering. It is going to quickly pass away within another 60-70 years. Another quality of this body is kleshada. It is capable of producing lot of suffering. Very easily this body can give you suffering. You can see when you get headaches, there is so much suffering. When you get stomachache, there is suffering. When you get chest pain, or when you have appendix, or when you have cholera, when you have jaundice, when you have fever, so many different types of diseases in the body. And besides that, the body is specifically, very specially designed to inflict suffering to you. In the second term, the example is given. You take a finger, how much happiness this finger can give you? It can't give you much happiness. What kind of happiness this finger can give you? But the finger can give you a lot of suffering. You can, if you take a scissor and cut the finger, will you get pain? You get pain. Or you put it under the lorry, you get pain. Or you put it in the sugarcane machine, you get pain. Or you put it in the fire, isn't it? It can give you pain. But what happiness can it give you? At best it can give you the happiness of doing like this. That's all. So, that means there are a million ways of giving suffering with this finger, but there is only one or two ways of giving happiness. This is the proof that this body is designed for giving us suffering. So he says, asannati kleshada asadeha. This body is meant for giving us suffering, through which so many different types of sufferings are inflicted upon us, and we are suffering in this world. Sadhu manye yat atmanoyam. My dear sons, he is telling, Shubhadev is telling his 100 sons, do not waste away your life simply running after indriya tripti. Sadhu manye yat atmanoyam. The atma, these activities are not befitting. What activities? Noonam pramatta kurute vikarma. Vikarma means indulging in sinful activities. Indulging in activities like the animals. Do not become animalistic. Use your life for God-conscious life, he is telling. So, one can very easily understand that the souls who are running here and there in this world are not running playfully, but they are running madly. Simply out of infatuation for enjoyment. Exactly like that moth. You have seen that moth. Moth is going. Sometimes he sees the light on the other side. He goes and hits the window and he falls down, not being able to go to the other side. Again he resumes his strength. Again he goes and hits the window. So he tries somehow go through the window, and then somehow or other if he is able to go through, ultimately what happens to him? He goes into the flame and becomes roasted there. Ultimately he dies. In the same way, out of kama vasana, out of lust, all the souls are running here and there. The basic principle of this material existence is sex life, and everyone is working for satisfying that one appetite by working hard to make bungalows, to buy cars, to earn a lot of money, to have bank balance, to increase one's status in society, name and fame. Ultimately all these things to satisfy that one desire, if one carefully observes. Maybe it may be very crude to say so directly, but if one introspectively sees into one's own heart, one can observe the same thing what I am saying. So, one may say, you know, we are not running after sex life. There are many other things we have in life to show some interest. But if one carefully observes the soul, ultimately the lust is the most dominant thing in the heart of a conditioned soul, which he wants to enjoy, for which he performs all kinds of vikarma. So he says, Noonam pramatta kurute vikarma indriya priti aprinoti. For the indriya priti, the soul is ready to do anything in this world, any kind of vikarma. And he says the souls are madly standing here and there. We talk of happiness and we also talk of satisfaction. See, when we talk of sukha, sukha is meant for the body, and shanti is meant for the mind, and ananda is meant for the soul. So these are all different things. For the body, For example, when you are walking in the scorching heat of a sun, and you take the man to your air-conditioned room, he will say, "Oh, I am so thankful to you. You gave me so much happiness." But the happiness is only for the body. Or there is a man who is very, very hungry. You feed him some food. He is so grateful to you. "Thank you very much for giving me this food." That is also for the body. Or as you were telling about mental pressure and intellectual pressure. So these are all things which may give satisfaction at the level of mind and at the level of intellect. But when you talk of the ananda of the soul, it is something completely different. It is altogether different. That we call as ananda or bliss, we call it. That is the meaning of bliss. So bliss and happiness are two different things altogether. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Pareshana Bhava Viraktir Anyatra Chaitirika Eka Kalaha Prapadya Manas Yadashtantasya Pushti Pushti Chidra Payana Gaha. He says that when a person who is very hungry, when he eats his food, when he is putting in the mouth, he gets taste in the tongue. And then when the food goes inside, immediately he feels some satisfaction. That now I am very satisfied. And third, he gets tremendous strength and ability to work. Three things take place when one eats. In the same way, when one performs Krishna consciousness, when you are performing your devotional service, what happens to you? In the beginning, you don't have any taste for chanting Hare Krishna, you don't have taste in the beginning. But when you keep on chanting, over a period of time, the tongue will get the taste. So the taste becomes so prominent. What is the proof that you are getting the taste? That means after you chant 5 rounds, you may want to chant 1 or 2 more rounds. You will feel, "Oh, it is so nice to chant Hare Krishna today, so let me chant more." In the same way, after chanting, one will feel a great satisfaction. That satisfaction is exhibited when a person shows virakta bhavana. Virakta means he is not attracted to indriya tripti. He is not attracted to indriya. That means even in the presence of sense objects, indriya bhog, even if it is available, he doesn't want to enjoy. He is able to live in the midst of indriya vishaya, but he is not attracted. Like Srila Prabhupada went to America, he was living in the midst of such nasty Americans who had such a way of life. They had free sex, they had liquor shops, the boys and girls, they had no restrictions. He lived in the midst, but he never was attracted to the Western way of life, even that. Even though living in the midst of such people. So, the virakta bhavana, like for example, Maharaj Bharata, although at the prime of his youth, he could renounce his kingdom, his wife, his children, and all the property that he had. He was such a wealthiest person. He could leave, he wasn't attracted to them. He had the virakta bhavana because of his attraction to the beautiful personality of God. So, he says this is one of the symptoms that a person is not attracted to indriya tripti. The second symptom. And third is the person gets bal. Bal are the strength. That strength is a strength one has to have conviction about Krishna consciousness. That means you have more and more and more firm faith in the path of Krishna consciousness. All your doubts gradually wither away and you become very strong and you preach. That is the strength. So the satisfaction, the spiritual satisfaction is a very deep satisfaction which can be personally felt by a devotee who is sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness. When we talk of the mental satisfaction or intellectual satisfaction or the bodily satisfaction, it is again something like a hallucination or something like a satisfaction of a drunkard. Because a drunkard appears to be happy, but actually a person who has not drunk clearly knows that he is not happy. Because the satisfaction that comes in the mind or in the body is all temporary. Some of you might have heard about the three modes, isn't it? When you talk of rajoguna, tamoguna, sattoguna. In tamoguna, a person who takes to intoxicants like smoking or boozing or sleeping for 20 hours a day, in that he derives satisfaction, is it not? He thinks he is very satisfied, isn't it? The person who smokes, he says, "Oh, it is so nice. Now that I have smoked some 5 packets today, now I am not having any tension." He says like that actually. He thinks he is satisfied. And a person in passion, why does he derive satisfaction? He derives satisfaction if his prestige is increased. When somebody glorifies him that you have done this, you have done that. Or he also derives satisfaction in sex life. Then he thinks, now I am very, very satisfied. Similarly, a person in goodness, he derives satisfaction from writing poems, for intellectual vocabulary, you may get some satisfaction in that. Or by reading philosophy, or by reading poetry, or by doing some invention, the person in goodness can get some satisfaction. All these three satisfactions are illusory. All these three. Because they are not on the platform of soul. They are all on the platform of body. They have no eternal existence. They all are illusory. So, these satisfactions are all covering. Like you have the mind, the intelligence and the body, which are all covering. So these satisfactions are also pertaining to the body and the mind and the intelligence. They have no true existence. They all are illusory. That is like on a tottering platform. They come and go away afterwards. But when we talk of the satisfaction of the soul, it is something that is eternal and everlasting with the soul. As Prasad Mahaprabhu says, Anandam Budivardhanam Pratipadam Purnamrita Svadhanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. He says, Ananda Ambudhi Vardhanam. Ananda means bliss. Ambudhi is ocean. He says, Ananda Ambudhi Vardhanam. Already, Krishna consciousness is like the ocean of bliss. And he says, by chanting, the ocean's limits are increasing like this. Increasing. Already it's the ocean. The limits of the ocean are increased when one chants the holy name. Ananda Ambudhi Vardhanam. Prati Padam Purna Amrita Svadhanam. At every step, a devotee feels the increasing level of transcendental ecstasy. More and more and more and more taken into the ocean of bliss. That is Krishna consciousness. Sarvatma Snapanam. The soul is completely bathed with such bliss, such happiness. And that is something that is everlasting and always staying with the soul. Whereas the sukh or the shanti which is coming along with the body and the mind, that will go away. Today you may say, today I am feeling very peaceful. Tomorrow I will be crying like anything. Isn't it? Or today your body may get some comfort. Tomorrow you may suffer. So the body and the mind and intelligence, they are repeatedly tossed between happiness and distress. It's not that he permanently gets happiness. But the soul, once he is reinstated in his position, he can experience everlasting happiness, which can never be taken away from the soul. See, when you talk of bodily happiness or mental happiness, you know, most often they are derived from objects which are outside. For example, if you are very much attached to your walkman, if somebody takes away that walkman, you start crying. Because the object of happiness is your walkman. That object is outside. If it is taken away, you cry. Whereas the soul has that eternal happiness with it always. So when you invoke that happiness, that can never be taken away. You all understand this point? As long as you derive happiness from different objects of this world, they can very easily be taken. Somebody is deriving happiness from his beautiful girlfriend. Somebody is deriving happiness from a television. Somebody is deriving happiness from his degree. Somebody is deriving happiness from this, that. So many different things. But when those objects are taken away, then this person becomes miserable. He may even commit suicide in this world. Whereas when we talk of the nature of the soul, the Krishna conscious happiness is a part of the soul itself. Like the sugar is sweet, similarly, the nature of the sugar is to be sweet. In the same way, the nature of the soul is to be happy, and we are reviving that happiness, which is a part of the soul. When it is revived, nobody can steal it from you. It is impossible. Nobody can take it away from you. That is going to be permanently with you. So he was asking about fish of the water. Taking a fish of the water was asking about the example. You all heard the question? Actually, the person who is a devotee, even if he is living in the midst of his family, internally he knows that all these people are souls. Like Janaka Maharaj, Krishna gives the example. Janaka had wife, Janaka had children, and Janaka had a kingdom. Janaka had so many elephants and horses and so much sena. Although he was living in the midst of all of these things, he always clearly knew that I am not this body, nor are these relationships mine. I am a pure soul. Krishna is giving the example of Janaka. கர்மனைவிக சம்சித்தியம் ஆசிட்டா ஜனகாதே விசேஷம் பகவத்கீதா லோக சங்கிரகமேவாபி சம்பத்யம் கர்த்தும் அர்ஹதி. He is saying that Janaka Maharaj, although he was a great king, he lived with his family, lived with his wife, children, kingdom, everything, but he never became attached. He clearly knows that they are all God's property. In the same way, detachment should be in one's consciousness. One should be able to. Of course, some of them will become sannyasis. They have left their family, children, everything, worldly things. And somebody may be living as a part of the world, living in the world. But both of them have the opportunity to establish this consciousness, that actually all these things don't belong to me. See, simply Krishna also says in one place in Bhagavad Gita, Natasanyasanadeva samsidhyam, Natasanyasanadeva siddhyam samadigacchati. He says simply by taking sannyas also one cannot become detached, he's telling. Like if somebody goes away from family, leaves his father, mother, wife, children, everything and goes away, he is not called detached. Because externally he is detached, but internally he may be attached. Like Brahma is telling to Manu, that Manu, if a man leaves his home and goes to forest, he may think, now I have left everybody. But then his six wives are following him. Who are the six wives? Five indriyas and one man, mind. The five jnanindriyas and the mind, they are going with him, they are always going to trouble him. In the same way, the real detachment should take place in the heart. That is real detachment, not just external detachment. Here when you are talking of detachment, we are trying to impress upon you the point that we should understand God to be the center of everyone. And all of us have eternal connection with Him. Not that we think I am the center of the house and I have all my relationships around me and I am the God of the house. Without me nothing can move. That is materialistic consciousness. Clear? Yeah? No problem, what's the problem with that? Like when you are doing engineering, if you are doing 4 years of engineering, if you are in second year, will you say, oh, now I have 2 more years to go, now I am not a degree holder fully, nor I am just staying with my plus two, I am in between. It is a course which you have to undergo. By finishing it completely, you will get the degree. But if he gets 1 year, 2 years down, he may take 7 years also. Why not? Why can't you go back in this life? So that you should have. Is that determination that in this very life I will make it? Why should I wait for another life? See, why are we hearing about the sufferings in this world so that we can understand clearly that we don't have to come back? We can perfect our life in this very life. This is determination. Like you need determination in engineering, that I don't want to do engineering for 8 years, I want to finish it in 4 years. In the same way, you should think in this very life I should perfect. You should cultivate the determination. Then, actually one important thing has to answer about hypnotherapy, happiness. So, asking about the happiness that we derive from hypnotherapy. Actually, there are people are trying many other artificial techniques to make a man happy. See, one thing is crystal clear for everyone in this world, that man is suffering. If people didn't know that man is suffering, they won't be devising ways and methods to alleviate suffering in this world. So we are seeing that man is trying to alleviate suffering. So the different artificial techniques that are made to make a man artificially happy are like something like, you know hysteria? During hysteria, a person laughs, you see. He laughs like that, actually he is very happy. Actually, it is a disease. You know that? Isn't it? You know that? Hysteria is a disease because of which a person appears to be happy and smiling, but actually he is in a little crazy state. he was having a disease actually. So by some hypnotherapy or some hypnotism, if you artificially make a man to smile, if you hypnotize a person saying, now you should smile, now you should smile, like that you make a person, and then how you should keep your mouth like this. And always he will keep his mouth like this, you know. His mouth like this, he is smiling. But does that mean that he is actually happy? He's not happy. So you may devise million one method to artificially make a man look happy. If you see in television, American boys and girls, they show all their teeth, the TV. That doesn't mean they are happy. Because the statistics in America shows suicide rate is maximum in America. That is the proof that they are not happy. So making our face happy or looking to be happy is not the platform of happiness. We don't want to claim to be happy on an artificial plane. We want a true deep satisfaction in the heart, which every one of us can experience. And spiritual life promises that. And there are people who have achieved it in the past. And we, by practicing, in our such a tender stage, we are appreciating spiritual life so much, we don't know when we grow in spiritual life how much we will appreciate it. Like, what is our understanding in spiritual life? We are all like small kids in spiritual life. We have just begun. Some of you have begun a year ago, some of us have begun 2-3 years ago. But at this stage, Lord is giving us so much determination and happiness and bliss in spiritual life. So if we continue like that, we can imagine how we are going to be open to the storehouse of all pleasure. It's like a ocean, vast ocean. So that is true satisfaction. We don't want to artificially create some kind of happiness through some techniques. Like it's like putting a facelift. You know facelift? Some same actress, she grows very old and all her, you know, body is full of wrinkles. And still she wants to act. Then she stretches all her cheeks and puts a facelift. No. Then people think, oh, now her cheeks have become normal. But as long as the facelift is there, it may look as if she is young. But internally, all the cells are grown old, isn't it? So superficially, one may be made to appear happy. Something like a, what do you call it, like a representative, medical representative or like a marketing executive, you know. The marketing executive, sometimes I have seen them going in the road, talking to themselves. Oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, you know, so much. They are creeping. And as soon as they see a customer, immediately they put a smile. Hello? Like that they will shake the hand. Immediately. That is artificial smile. So we don't want that type of smile. We want true satisfaction. Like we say, the face is the index of the mind and eyes are the index of the heart, we say. So this satisfaction should come from the strength from the heart. We don't want to put up a superficial happiness. Anybody has any questions? Who is the raising hand? I want to see the face. No, Chandra. Somebody else from camp should ask. We want to give advantage to the yoga retreat camp devotees. If they have no person, they can. All of you are understanding what you are speaking about? No, somebody is not eternal. See, the grass body we leave in every life, right? In every life, you leave the grass body, and along with the soul body, the soul goes to the next body. But when the soul is also in this world, and goes only with his spiritual body, with his own spiritual body to the spiritual world. You leave the subtle body also, and the soul goes to the spiritual body. Yes, anybody has a question? What is the perfection?
Very good question.
Perfection is to re-establish the relationship, original relationship. If you see, like all of you are studying in a college, you all are earning. If you ask a man, why are you earning? People are generally going to college to earn a degree. After getting a degree, they want a job. And after getting a job, they want to satisfy the father and mother, you see. Or else, after satisfying father and mother, next to that, they want to marry, and they want to develop relationship with wife, and then produce some children with whom they want to develop relationships. So ultimately, if you carefully observe, everyone in this world is seeking relationship with another person. That is one thing. And in that relationship, one is seeking love, and one also wants to give love. Is it not? One wants to take service from wife, and one also wants to give service to wife and children. So to serve and to love is a basic principle of one's existence. But to serve and love is already there in the platform of soul. But not knowing about the soul, what are we doing in this world? We are using the same love and service for temporary objects. Like a husband is serving the wife, and wife dies, husband also dies. Or a businessman is working hard and doing business to earn money. Ultimately his business is finished and he is also finished. So these are all temporary existences. But because the soul is eternal and he has a propensity to love and serve, we want to find out who is the object of our love and service on an eternal platform. So what is perfection of life? Anybody can say, based on this understanding? What is the perfection of life? That means every one of us have a nature to love and to serve in the platform of soul itself. So what is our perfection of life? Our Nandakshya Rati ji will say.
To serve the Lord Krishna, love and serve Lord Krishna is the perfection of the life.
Yes, that is the perfection of life. So, to love and serve the Lord on the eternal platform not only gives happiness, bliss to the Lord, it also gives happiness and bliss to the soul also. Just like a wife who serves the husband, husband becomes very happy by the wife's service. But when the wife sees that the husband is satisfied, she also feels happiness. Oh, now I have satisfied my husband. She also feels happiness. In the same way, the soul, by serving the Lord, he also derives the maximum satisfaction and bliss. That is the ultimate perfection of life. Once you establish yourself in this relationship, there is no higher perfection to be achieved. It is only a matter of time you will be remaining in this world. And then this temporary body, you will wither it away and you will return back to the spiritual world. So, again, stay in that eternal relationship with the Lord for all time to come. There you can use the word ever after. It's very appropriate. Not in the fictitious stories of the material world. In the spiritual world, one can live happily ever after. You become a mental speculator. So, what is it like? Srimad Bhagavatam explains. It's like beating an empty husk in which there is no grain. What is the use of beating the empty husk? You know that you get one benefit by beating empty husk. Do you know what is it? The trouble that you get by beating it. That's the only thing you get. So, those who are intellectual, not that they have to become devotees. There are many intellectuals today, but all these intellectuals have come to they are going in the right direction. Because if one uses one's intellectual ability in the path of bhakti, like, you know, Prabhupada used to say, you are a scientist, then you become a scientist to establish God's existence. Then you are being a scientist to justify. That is the perception of one's life. The same way one has a good intellect, one can think much more deeply and in a twisted way one can think. Then let one use one's intellectual abilities to analyze the philosophy scrutinizingly and appreciate it and advance in the path of bhakti. Then such a approach is very much appreciated. Otherwise if someone is applying one's intellect independent of the scriptures, without touching the scriptures, he is applying his intellect to understand God, he will be doomed. He will not be able to arrive at the result. I think we should conclude here. I have left the question. I left the question because tomorrow I think Prem Prabhu will be taking greatest welfare activities. Prem Prabhu has taken already today? The part of it. See, as far as helping the poor is concerned, many people feel there is a need to help the poor. We don't deny that. We want to help the poor also. But we know that if you give food to a person, you will be satisfied for that day. Next day he is going to come to you again. The next day after you give him, third day he will come. Okay, you are satisfied, you are able to satisfy him for 1 or 2 months. And then you think, hey, what is this? How many days can I give him? Then you tell him, let me use my intelligence and give him a job. Now I have given him a job. Okay, my friend, I have given you a job. You are getting 1,000 rupees salary every month, be satisfied now. And he is so thankful to you for giving a job. That's what many people think. If you give a job, person can be happy. And then he passes for 1 or 2 years. Then he is comparing his salary with his neighbor. You see, I am getting 1,000. This fool is getting 3,000 rupees per month. What about me? He becomes greedy. Then he wants a better job. And he starts fighting, getting class. He is still not happy. That means we have not been able to make him happy. Okay, tell him, take 3,000. He will not be satisfied even with 30,000. So, his desire for earning more and more money becomes increasing. In this world, there is no end for one's needs. Because one has greed, it keeps on going like that. But when we talk of Krishna consciousness directly goes to one particular route and it attacks the truth. You know what is it? It is the paap karne ki pravritti, sinful propensity. Goes and attacks it. And immediately it removes. It is like the poisonous teeth of a serpent. When a serpent has a poisonous teeth, it is very dangerous. You cannot go near the serpent because if you get a bite, you will die. Whereas when you remove that teeth of the serpent, then the serpent becomes harmless. In the same way, when a person becomes a Krishna's devotee by adopting the process of devotional service, immediately the sinful propensity is removed. Immediately. When sinful propensity is removed, a person becomes very satisfied with whatever the Lord sends him. That is a greatness. Because the sinful propensity, a person is not able to become happy. Like I met a rickshaw person, he was crying to me, and he was going to the rickshaw telling me, Swamiji, you are so happy, I am earning so much of money every month, but I am not able to become happy. And I asked him, how do you spend your money? Then when he gave a list, I could understand, out of 2500 rupees he earned, 2000 rupees he spent in intoxication, in smoking, in drinking, in taking pan and all these things. He said to the people, as long as we have the sinful propensity, you know, you can never become satisfied with any amount of wealth, any amount of prosperity, any amount of facilities of the material world, luxury of the material world. So, when we talk of the poor people, sometimes people say, instead of chanting Hare Krishna, you just go and help the poor. But are we God that we can completely change all the poverty of the world and make all people rich? Sometimes communists think like that. Take all the wealth from the rich people and give it to the poor people so that they can become happy. So that is communism. Or capitalists say that we will take lead. According to one's intelligence, one should be allowed to dominate. So they have tried capitalism, they have tried communism, they have tried dictatorship, nothing has worked, everything has crumbled into pieces. Because even the poorest of the poor, even if you want to serve him to the best ability possible, we are unable to satisfy the person completely. Of course, we don't deny the fact that people cannot live without food. It's true. Sometimes people ask us, how can a person chant God's name if he doesn't have anything in his stomach? So we also go to the slums. We also distribute prasadam. But we don't distribute the ordinary food. Our purpose in going to the slums and giving food is to, of course, nourish the stomach, but more importantly, to tell them about God. After they eat the prasad, we tell them, now you chant the Lord's name. Because by chanting Lord's name, your sinful propensity will be eradicated. Then when we don't commit sin, we don't have to suffer at all in this world. You will not have to suffer. As soon as you avoid this propensity to commit sin, there is no suffering for you. You become completely free. And at one point of time, you can become liberated and go back to God. When you avoid all sin. But people are repeatedly committing sins, even after giving them all facilities. Do you think a man who has all facilities doesn't commit sin? A man having wealth, man having a good job, he doesn't commit sin. People having all facilities, just having all these things, they still commit sin. And they become more and more entangled. So, we have built a hospital, if you see, in Mira Road, in Bombay, Bhakti Vedanta Hospital, where we give treatment to the poor people also. Whatever they are able to pay, we are taking from them. Sometimes they give free treatment. The purpose of giving treatment there is when people come to the hospital to take treatment, they give them medicine. At the same time, the doctor is a devotee who tells them, my dear friend, this disease, I am giving you some medicine. You may get cured, but again you are going to get another disease in this world. There is no end to diseases in this world. But understand one thing, you are not this body. You are the pure spirit soul. Try to act on the platform of soul. Try to understand God and establish your relationship. By doing so, you can get rid of this material body and go back home, back to Godhead, where there is no suffering. So the doctor teaches them philosophy when they go to their hospital. So in our hospitals, we give medicine as well as philosophy. When we go for food, distributing food, which we call as food for life. If you see, there are ISKCON temples where they distribute minimum 3,000 plates a day of prasadam. There are foreign temples they do. So, in ISKCON also we serve the poor people. We don't deny that. We should serve the poor people also. But our main criteria should be to save the person, not just the coat. The man is drowning in water. What is the use of saving his coat alone? You have to save the person. I will give you three options. You choose one of the three. To save only the coat. Second option is to save only the person. Third option is to save the person with the coat. Which would you choose?
So you would generally say 7% of the court. Even if the court is lost, is there any loss? Not much loss. At least you saved the person. After coming out, he can work and earn money and get another court. Isn't it? Whereas if the person drowns in only the court, what is the use? So ISKCON is trying the second and third possibility. ISKCON is first trying to save the person very intelligently, and then after saving the person, ISKCON is also trying to save the court also by serving people. But like all of you become good devotees, you all will be taking up big jobs. Many of you may become managers of companies, some of you become consultants. When you become very big in your life, you come back to ISKCON and you can organize big football life program. You donate some 20,000 rupees which you have earned throughout the year, and you will arrange a football life program and feed 10,000 people. We don't mind. You certainly do that. If any of you are really interested to distribute food to the people and you want to serve them, you can save the body, you can save the person and the court, both you can save. If you want to do that service, you can certainly help. In ISKCON, we are always waiting for such donations for people to come forward and use it to free food to people, which also saves the soul also, not only just the body. Clear? I think we will conclude here and we will be chaitan for 5 minutes and then we will all go for prasad. Mridanga, sir? So that's a good new mridanga, it's not there. Thank you.